A warm welcome back. Now it's time for me to give Trudy some feedback. So, where to start, Trudy? Where to start? So let me start with growth and why I was asking certain questions. I started asking the question around your management team.
Yeah.
For me, you can't answer the question about scale without answering the question around your management team. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a management team, a strong management team that's disciplined, then you can't scale the business. Mm-hmm. Every indication from my chat to you, from watching the insert, is that you're organized. You're super organized and you're structured. That gives me a great feeling that you will have the ability to scale. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I'd look at is the management team, and that you've got the discipline of building out this management team, and that you've got the weekly meeting, and you've got an agenda that tells me that you've got structure and you've got order and that you've got discipline. Mm-hmm. Then it comes to the funding underneath. So the funding question now is really a question around whether there is margin in the business or there is not margin. If you're making sufficient profit or you're not. You spoke about in the previous section, you spoke about the fact that you got a lot of pressure from the retailers pressurizing you around price point. They're not picking on you, they pick on all manufacturers, everyone. That's their job, is to try and get it at the cheapest price. And then the threat is the imports. But you quite rightly picked up something very important. What happened since COVID, and even the Russia-Ukraine war, is that people are far more sensitive to supply chains now than ever before. And there's a big push, particularly amongst retailers in South Africa, to localize manufacture so that there are alternative supply chains. So if you think about one of the big furniture retailers, or one of the big retailers with a big furniture component in it, that's been importing from China or from the East, from Thailand or wherever, and now those supply chains have been affected, what are they going to do in the summer when a lot of that outdoor furniture is sold? To have you locally is not only a better secondary source, or hopefully primary source of supply, but it also means that they don't have to have the quantities in stock. So if you're importing from China, you're going to have to fill X amount of containers filled with this furniture. From you, they can order 3 sets or 5 sets or 10 sets or whatever the case may be. And the holding cost of that stock is actually yours, to speak, which is an advantage to them. Okay. So I would be a little bit more pushback on terms of price, because you know that you're also saving them in terms of their holding the stock and the minimum order quantities and the forex risk and all the other import duties and all the other things that come with importing furniture. So I think what's happened with COVID and all the other global issues actually bodes well for you. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to the so that I was talking about. We started with the management team, and now I'm talking about margin. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying there's room to keep your margin, and I would inspect the margin, because if you are not making sufficient margin, then you're not fundable to. You might be slightly fundable, but not extremely fundable. The higher your margin, the better your return, the easier you scale that business, and more have your economies of scale. Mm-hmm. The more fundable you are, and the better you are likely to find funding. Your funding can come in two forms. Number one, it's bank finance, right? Mm-hmm. So which is, let's call it, I'm going to say, the cheapest form of finance. When they say the cheapest form of finance, it means that you don't have to give away equity. The second form of funding will be from an investor, where an investor will come in and either loan money or capitalize and loan or capitalize the business, mm-hmm. and then help scale the business and hopefully bring other value to the business as well, where you get an investor to scale that business, mm-hmm. with you and support you to scale that business. Mm-hmm. Because what you're going to find is, as the business grows, and let's say you get one chain, you're going to need X amount of funding. Then you're going to get another chain, and then you're going to have two X kind of funding, and so on and so forth. So that requirement for funding is going to be constant as you start to scale the business. It doesn't stop, okay? And especially if you scale quickly, which I would also say, just scale slowly. not too big. Okay. So those are your two, and depending on your what your margins are, depends which way I would go. Then my last point, my second last point is around that retailer that they related, that retail question, is that you've got the Ambesha brand, but create ranges. So if you start to create ranges with brand name sub-brands on ranges, this is the so-and-so range. So if I take a car manufacturer, there's the C-Class Merc, and the C-Class has got a whole bunch of different C-Classes in it. Mercedes is the top brand. The C-Class, everyone knows that's the C-Class, and then you've got a whole bunch of different types of C-Classes in there. The same thing, that C-Class equivalent, you create a brand around a range, and then you can create a whole range underneath that.
Okay.
Those ranges then can be for retail. So you've got your bespoke and the ranges, you start to build up ranges, okay? Which you start to and obviously keep them fresh. Which leads me to my last point around the retail. If you're going to scale, my guess is that your scale is going to be around the supply of these retailers, right? Then you're going to compete, and then someone is to say, why are we giving Trudy business if she's competing with us, and it's going to shoot you in the foot. Personally, I would not go into there for two reasons. Number one, that. And number two, it's a whole different competency. Now you're opening up stores, and there's stores set up, which you might or might not, my guess is you don't have a lot of experience in. There's store management, there's the cash, and it's a whole different competency required to have retail. Okay, in there. So now you have to go through another learning curve on retail and all the fraud and the theft and all that that's going to happen in that environment. Plus, you've got your manufacturing competency, which you've already built up your learning curve. So my strategic advice would be to choose one. I would stay at the manufacturing and then build ranges into different environments. And the only exception to that would be online, where you could build a range, a very bespoke range that's not in competition to the retailers. Online, where you can have an online store, where you don't have the issues of stock, etc., and you effectively have a window to the world through the internet. And that, Trudy, is my advice to you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for affording me this opportunity. I've learned a lot. I'm going to watch this recording and take notes from it.
Great.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well, based on this interview, I'll share some pointers with you a bit later in the show. However, now it's time for our series on how to build the FMCG brand. In studio with us, we have Ryan Scheff-Lurie, who is the founder of Namya Japan, a high caffeine content drink, and he's talking to us over the next couple of weeks about how to build a FMCG brand, how to go about that. Many of our viewers are trying to build or have built brands that might or might not have been successful, and we've decided to bring Ryan into studio to help us think through the different factors that make up a successful brand. Last week we spoke about building the actual product. This week we're going to talk about the actual packaging design.
Thanks, Alon. Packaging design is what do they say? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So one of the most important things that you can focus on when trying to build your packaging is it catchy? Does it catch your attention? If it was sitting on a shelf with 20 other products that are in a similar category, does it capture you immediately? Are there factors about it? What size is it? There are all these different things that have to be considered when actually designing the packaging. So, logo is one thing and a catchy phrase is another, but am I going to see it amongst everything else? So what color do you use? Are you using what do they call the fast food colors? Yellow, red, blue, black. Are those colors that are there, or are you choosing to go completely left field? It's a big factor to decide then what size you want to do in your packaging. So are you able to transport your product once it's designed? So packaging isn't just about the colors, the design's not just about the logo and that look and feel. Can you create a consistency once you release other variants? are you able to constantly place the name of your company or the logo for the design of this particular flavor or brand in a consistent place all the time? So it's almost like creating a template that you can use again and again and again with little changes. When thinking about it, there's printing costs that go into designing products. There's packaging costs that go into designing products. So are you using stock standard sizing, or are you going for something that's completely out of the blue, and then you're sitting in a position where you have to recreate and not use stock standard? That always becomes a lot more expensive. So one way to make sure that in a fast-moving item you keep the costs low is by using standard sizes that you can easily replicate.
We're going to have to leave it there, Ryan. I think what I've heard today is that the design of packaging is a lot more than just how pretty it looks or how flashy it looks, but also the size is important in terms of cost and transport. That's it for this insert. We'll be right back straight after this.